these opening books of the Bible, from Genesis to Joshua, they describe historical events, but they're not just historical records. In these books, the Lord God also speaks to us by way of example and type of the deliverance of his people in all ages from the degrading bondage of sin. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, told them, now all these things, he's speaking about these Old Testament events, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now Joshua stands as a type in the Old Testament for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek name Jesus simply translates the Hebrew name Joshua. Now the meaning of both is identical. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. And whatever Old Testament Israel received in Canaan, they received from God through Joshua. And whatever the Christian receives from God today, he or she receives through Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 1, we saw Joshua receive his commission from the Lord as Israel's leader. We saw him take up his command, and without hesitation, we saw him go to the people and to communicate to them that the time had come, the time to make ready to go forward and to take their promised land of rest, the land of rest promised unto them. And in chapter 2, we're seeing how this coming campaign, which we've already looked at, from chapter 6 to the end of this book, we're seeing how it begins to take shape. Well, we read today that Joshua sent 2 spies to reconnoitre the land that lay between the Jordan River and the city of Jericho, including the city of Jericho. And in Jericho, the spies found lodging in the house of a harlot named Rahab, who hid them from the authorities. And she persuaded this posse that had come looking for these men that they'd already left the city, whereupon they set off in chase. And last time we considered Rahab's lies and deception to the authorities, which, as in other similar circumstances of questionable behaviour, the scriptures simply report they do not condone. However, we also noted the burgeoning and the embryonic faith evident in Rahab's life. In divine providence, the Lord had led his servants to this woman so that he might begin a work in her life. Up until now, Rahab had been a defiled sinner. Her life thus far had been one of deep depravity. She was also a dead sinner, living her physical life, but spiritually she was dead in her trespasses and sins. And furthermore, Rahab was a doomed sinner, living in a place that the Lord God had already selected for destruction. And this is the condition today of every unsaved person living today, living without God and living without the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight, we come back to our studies to see Rahab returning to the spies' hiding place on the roof of the house, telling them what she knows and accepts about the God of Israel, and then pleading for her life and the life and the lives rather of her family. So our text is Joshua chapter 2 verses 8 to 14. Joshua 2 chapters 8 verses 8 to 14. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord God hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life be yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Well, again, may God's word bless our hearts. Three headings, I will give them you this week. There are these: conviction, concession, and condition. Should really be conditions, but didn't pass well. So conviction, confession, concession rather, and condition. So conviction. What we're dealing here is with what Rahab knew. Verses 8 and 9. And before they were laid down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. By the time the spies arrived in Jericho, as we've already said, the Lord had already begun a work in Rahab's life. After the authorities had left, Rahab rushes back up onto the roof where these two men are hiding, and before they have a chance to explain to her who they are and what they're about, she tells them she already knows about them. And she knows about their God. And it appears that she knew quite a lot. No doubt she first of all gave them the all clear and come out from under the flax. But then, without apparently waiting for them to respond, she begins to make known to them her firm conviction that the land she's living in has been destined by God to be given to Israel. And that because of this, Jericho, and indeed the whole land of Canaan, was in the grip of fear. And notice here how Rahab uses the proper name for Israel's God. She calls him Lord. We always see it in our Bibles, capital L, capital O, or capital O, capital D, Lord. But it stands for that words which it's a tradition that's come down through the ages, but it stands for the Hebrew word which the Hebrews themselves would not say, Yahweh or Jehovah. And Jehovah, and she calls the Lord by his proper name, Jehovah. And this is the name that distinguishes the Lord God from the false gods of other nations. And notice too that in saying, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, Rahab is declaring her personal, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She's declaring her personal conviction concerning the truth of what the Lord has done and is doing. And I know, she says, that the Lord has given you the land. This outpouring of faith in what the Lord is doing shows that God had a plan in bringing Rahab and the spies together. And it's the same kind of thing we see when God brings unbelieving lost sinners to his people who are believers. And they come to these people who have the gospel. So not only did Rahab know some things, or quite a lot of things about the Lord, she'd also heard other things about him too. And having now declared her personal conviction, i.e. she said, I know that the Lord, etc., Rahab now reports what had been the general reaction to these things amongst the Canaanites. My second heading, concession, what Rahab had heard and accepted. Verses 10 and 11. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So the cause of the Canaanites' dread was Israel's miraculous passage through the Red Sea, an event that happened 40 years or so earlier. Surely by now a half-forgotten recollection. But now, sparked into life by Israel's army, now amassing on the nearby banks of the Jordan, following their annihilation of the Amorite nation and its two kings, Sihon and Og. And these events are now being ascribed not to the power of the Israelite army, but to that of their God. And the result was that the people melted with fear. Their courage sank at the prospect of these approaching Israelites and their God. The secret fear being that the battle would be inevitably lost. Not because the Israelite army were so outstandingly capable in battle, but because of the power of their God. And Rahab could thus say to the spies that this was the reason that everyone was now living in fear and dread. To put it simply, Rahab was confessing her faith in the truth of what she had heard. Now, the difference between Rahab and the others in Jericho or in Canaan, in a wider sphere, it was not that she knew more about Israel's God, but that the Spirit of God was at work in her life, sanctifying the Lord's great deeds to her heart. And the news of Israel's advance in the rest, it only served to provoke terror and dismay in the hearts of the Canaanites. But in Rahab's heart, it led to her faith and her willingness to submit to the God of Israel. And she was now ready to concede that the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab's declaration was a testimony to her newfound faith. It may not have, at this point, been a strong faith. It certainly was not a perfect faith, as we considered last time. But it was a commendable faith, nonetheless, as the New Testament scriptures show. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And the Apostle James, chapter 2, verse 25, says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. You know, we may be tempted to look down on such as Rahab, you know, a notorious harlot, a proven liar. But like every sinner, she was not saved by her works. Let's not get James wrong in this. She was saved by faith, which is the gift of God. But faith results in works. It's impossible to have faith and not do them. But they're not the thing that saves. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, reminds us, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace, grace, that is the free gift of God, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Rahab knew who God was, and she knew who she was. And so she took sides with God against herself and put her trust in God for her very life. And this is what now motivated Rahab. This is what motivated her to petition for salvation. Not for herself only, but for her whole family. And here's my third-headed condition. It should really be conditions. She's pleading for conditions. What Rahab asked. She asked the conditions, verses 12 and 13. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye shall save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. See, Rahab asked these men who'd been sent by Joshua to swear by one whom she herself now acknowledged and accepted to be the one true God. And she was asking that he repay the kindness she'd shown to these two spies, these two men, by helping to save her family and her when the city was soon to be captured. Notice Rahab's not asking them for a guarantee. She asks for a true token. What she means is, give me a sure sign that they could be counted on to help her. And by asking for an oath, she says, swear by it. We see just how deep was Rahab's longing for assurance. And she wanted now to leave her sinful life and pagan culture, and she wanted to go with the Lord God's holy life and holy culture. And Rahab also desired to see her whole family saved, and the length she went to try and secure their lives. And it shows us that her love as well as her faith should be noticed. You know, over the 40 years since Israel had left Egypt, and the news about Israel, their progress and the power of their God had reached the ears of the people of Jericho. You know, perhaps travellers or other people were fleeing the advance of Israel, and they'd passed through Jericho and told them about Israel and their God. And the people of Jericho had heard that Israel was coming, and that the God of Israel was a living and a powerful God. Rahab too had heard about the God of Israel. It was the same message of threat and judgment that those others had heard. But it was in Rahab's heart a message about the true and living God, the message that came to her not as one of judgment and death, but a message of reconciliation and life. Not only did Rahab hear the message of Israel's God, she heeded it well, and it produced in her a response of faith in her heart. The fact that Rahab believed the message, we can see it, it's proven by what she says about God. In verse 9 there, she calls him the Lord. She refers to him by his proper name, Jehovah, using his covenant name. In verse 11, she expresses her faith in him as the God of heaven and of earth. And in verse 12, she again expresses her faith in God as she calls him to witness the pact that she is now making with the Lord's two missionaries, if you like, the two spies, the two Hebrew men. And again, even the, that great hall of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us of the faith of Rahab, as we've just read. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. Rahab heard the message, and she acted on it in belief. She put her faith in the God of Israel. And this is exactly what must happen in the life of lost sinners today. They must hear the message, and then they must act on that message by accepting in God-given faith the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. The Bible tells us, or Paul tells us, as in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what this means is that the message of salvation is addressed in words to the sinner who hears the gospel and is convicted of its truth by the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, in his heart. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6:44. When sinners believe the gospel, they're saved by the grace of God. Salvation cannot be yours as long as your faith is in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. You know, if you're trusting today in the so-called sinner's prayer, say this prayer. Oh, it doesn't matter what you feel now, you're a Christian. You're trusting in that to save you. You're lost still. If you're trusting in church membership, if you're trusting in church attendance, if you're trusting in baptism, if you're trusting in the elements of the Holy Communion, if you're trusting in anything else in this world, you're not saved, but still lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. And you need to be born again through the faith that comes by the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You know, stop for just a minute and think about all the things that Rahab did not have. She didn't have a Bible. She didn't have a church. She'd never met a missionary, well, perhaps before these spies arrived. She'd never heard a gospel sermon. She'd never sung a gospel song. She'd never read a gospel tract. She was living in the heart of a pagan city, living a wicked life with no knowledge of God. But God, in his grace and mercy, opened her heart and allowed her to hear something about him. She believed what she heard, and she was saved. And God still has a message that's being proclaimed around the world today. And it's the only message that can take the vilest sinner and make him or her a new creation. And that message is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which tells us about the God who sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins on a cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of God suffered and shed his blood at Calvary, that our sin debt might be paid. Not by us, but by him. We don't have enough credit to pay for our sins. And then 3 days later, the one who died on that cross, he rose from the dead in order to bring the promise of eternal life to whosoever will call on his name. Is there anybody in the world who is not a whosoever? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said in the 15:3, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that the Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." This is the message that everyone needs to hear today. It's the only message that can bring eternal life to a person who is dead in sin. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." But let me bring this to a close. You know, Rahab's confession is an Old Testament type. It's a picture of how salvation comes to a person, a sinful person, who is lost in trespass and sin. The lost person hears the message, and the Spirit of God touches their heart. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The lost person then sees their need and accepts the Holy Spirit's invitation to come to Jesus by faith. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." What did the Philippian jailer cry out when he thought that his world had come to an end? He cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And what did the apostles reply? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It all sounds just too simple. It all sounds just too good to be true, doesn't it? But that's how salvation comes to everyone who receives it. You know, many try hard to find other ways, but there is only one way, and that way is to come to Jesus. Come to the one who said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." The one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You know, this is the message of the gospel that Rahab received in her heart. It's the same message today. And the message is simply this: that whosoever believeth in him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. We turn to sing our closing hymn from 699. "In the hour of trial, Jesus, pray for me, lest by base denial I depart from thee. When thou seest me waver, when a look recall, nor for fear or favour, suffer me to fall." In 699. Lord, how in the past have we wrestled with these things, with the simplicity of the gospel. And yet we see, Lord, even in the heart of one who had lived a life of deep depravity, that thou, Lord, didst break in upon her, thou, Lord, did open her heart to receive. And Lord, we cannot argue folk into the kingdom of heaven We cannot, Lord, by rational arguments, science or apology, or apologetics rather, Lord, convince people of the truth of these things. Thou alone must come to the heart of the sinner. Thou alone must open the door to eternal life. And Lord, we pray not only that if we have already received that gift of salvation from thee, that gift of faith, that thou, Lord, would refresh in our hearts and in our memories the beauty of that time when thou did break in upon us. We remember the time immediately before when we first had to contend with our own lost condition, our own hopelessness, and Lord, before we could receive. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou did surprise us with joy whence thou did come into our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that thou would keep that time alive and fresh with us, that we might be able to share it with others. That whoever we meet, Lord, every precious lost soul that we come into contact with, Lord, it cannot be argued into heaven or won over by us, but only by thou. But it is by hearing the word that thou dost, Lord, save. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So bless us, Lord, and help us to share it. Help others to receive it, Lord. And Lord, before it's time for this world to end, Lord, we pray that thou would grant us time to reach out, that others, Lord, might be saved through thy finished work, through the Lord's finished work at Calvary. So hear our prayers. We ask them in Jesus' name. And now may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.